All right, B-Mitch of Philly, 106.7 The Fan, coming to you live from Ashburn Park, out here for the Commanders practice every Wednesday. But join us now on the line. We have our guy Aaron Schatz joining us. Aaron, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you guys today?
We are doing fantastic, man. Having a lot of excitement about around this football team.
Yeah, absolutely, huh? Really worked out.
Oh, yes. So far it has. Let's just hope it continues.
Certainly at this point it does. Aaron, what I mean, you're kind of the founder or the father of a lot of these analytical measures that have become so popular over the years. Through eight games, what do the numbers tell you about Washington?
I mean, they're fantastic. Based on expected points added numbers, they're kind of legendary. I mean, they're up there with the strongest offenses of the last 20 years. My numbers have them a little bit lower because they've gotten a little bit lucky in a couple of certain ways, but I still have them as the number three offense in the league so far this year. And I mean, they're absolutely for real on offense, and the defense has improved. The defense has been 11th over the last 4 weeks. So that terrible defensive start, they've actually improved since then.
Yeah. Defensively, what has changed? Like, how much – it's tricky because they played some bad offenses, and then the bad offenses perform bad. And the skeptics are like, well, they shut down the Panthers. They're supposed to shut down the Panthers. But defensively, they should get credit for it too, right?
Yeah, I mean, they shut down the Panthers, but not everybody shuts down the Panthers. I mean, teams do better against the Panthers than they do against, you know, an average team or a good team. You know, obviously, you're usually going to give up more offense to the 49ers than you are to the Panthers. But you don't normally completely shut them down the way that Washington did. So, and the other is, you know, if you look at how well the Arizona, I realize that's going back an extra week previous to what I did, but the Arizona offense has been pretty good this year, and they held them to 14 points. So it's not like it's just been bad offenses that they've been holding down.
It really has been fascinating. What do you think of Jaden Daniels as a rookie quarterback, and kind of what are the numbers suggesting the conversation he belongs in among all quarterbacks?
I mean, he's fantastic for a rookie quarterback. He's, you know, definitely on pace to be, you know, I don't think he's still on pace to have like the best, most valuable rookie season we've ever measured, but he's close to it. It's among the top guys. And I mean, he's definitely
who would
in
that
the
be?
MVP.
Stroud last year?
Dak Prescott, believe it or not. Dak Prescott in 2016 had the best total value for a rookie quarterback. The best value per play would be Marino in 1983.
Okay. Wow.
And that's that goes category. A long time.
What, if anything, in the Commanders' success do you think is unsustainable?
I think that at a certain point it may become an issue that the receivers are not that good other than McLaurin. And I like Noah Brown, and I thought Noah Brown was pretty good for Houston last year. But in general, there's not really a guy here that you'd be like, yeah, that's a typical starting number two receiver on another team. There's nobody who stands out like that.
Can the running game help those guys be more effective? Because I understand you're not going to just go out there and you look at that guy as number two, but when you got to be concerned with that running game and you got the guy going one-on-one against somebody else, that changes things.
Oh, sure. And when you have when you have the quarterback playing well, it changes things, right? I mean, the quarterback's going to get the ball to the receivers if he's playing well, no matter who the receivers are. But they're definitely, like, when you play Washington, you know who you have to cover. So when that time comes in the playoffs for them to go against strong defenses, those defenses are going to, you know, there's no mystery about who you have to cover. You need to cover, like, double McLaurin and dare the other guys to beat you.
Even with that, though, Terry's fourth in the NFL in receiving yards. Is he hitting a gear you weren't sure he had, or is he finally just getting good quarterback play?
Nah, everyone knew he had it. I think everybody, I think everybody looked at McLaurin the first few years and said, look at how good this guy is with bad quarterbacks. What's going to happen when he ever gets a good one? And this is what happens. Like, I don't think it's a surprise to anybody. Everybody knew how good he was.
What about Zach Ertz? Has he surprised you this year?
Yeah, I figured he was done. It has absolutely been a surprise that he has been a definite useful part of this offense. I think he's second on the team in receiving yards. It's absolutely been a surprise, especially because a lot of people were really high on Sinnott and thought, okay, Ertz is 34 years old. We like Sinnott. Yeah, we know rookie tight ends tend to struggle, but once they realize that Ertz is over the hill, Sinnott's going to break out. And instead, Sinnott's been almost completely absent, and Ertz has been much better than anyone expected.
Looking at the play of this offensive line, how good have they been? Because, I mean, they're the reason that this offense is really flowing.
Much better than anybody could have expected, and I think it gives hope to teams like New Orleans and New England, which have poor offensive line play this year, that the Commanders could go out and be active in, like, free agency and build a line in 1 year that's really good. I know the ESPN numbers have been number one in the league in run blocking and number six in pass blocking, which is just outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, the line has really been terrific. We are talking with our friend Aaron Schatz from FTN Fantasy. Of course, he's the chief analytics officer over there. Check him out at FTN Fantasy on Twitter. You can follow Aaron, of course, A-S-C-H-A-T-Z-N-F-L. Let's zoom out a little bit. Actually, let's do one more. The Commanders have their first second game of the year, if that makes sense. They're playing the Giants again. They had a nail-biter win over the Giants in week two. I think clearly they're a different team, different offense, different defense, and NFL franchises evolve over the course of a football season. What do you think about Washington heading up to the Meadowlands?
Yeah, I like this game for Washington. The Giants are not a good team. They have a great number one receiver. You know, you got to do everything you can to try to stop neighbors. But they have a poor offense and a very average defense, and they've had special teams problems this year. And Washington has just been a much better team than the Giants, especially over the last month.
Can you tell, like, when you're looking at teams, Aaron, and things start getting better, why they're improving and why other teams may be regressing?
Sometimes you can. Sometimes you can't. In a lot of ways, the way that looking at football is that stats often tell you what, and then film study tells you why.
Okay.
So considering that, what do you think is projecting out? The Commanders have their bye in 5 weeks. I think 9-4, 8-5 is almost a conservative estimation. Like, I want to ask you, I want to go league-wide with you, but just what do you think is kind of the ceiling? Where do you think the Commanders kind of finish? Who knows what happens when you get to the playoffs? They've had some red zone problems, but just what do they have this year in total?
I mean, honestly, 8-5 is a pretty conservative estimate. The idea that they would lose three of these five games, when you look at who they're playing, I mean, yes, the Cowboys will have Micah Parsons back by the time we get to week 12, but that game is in Washington. The Steelers look like a good team this year, right? So that's a tough one. And going to Philadelphia is certainly tough. But I think that 9-4 is a much more realistic idea of what Washington's going to be when they hit their bye week than 8-5. I mean, they could be either, but it's not the hardest schedule of the next five games.
Yeah, I mean, three of the four are division games, so that just kind of becomes a toss-up. The division stuff is crazy, but if they perform to the level they've shown they can, I tend to agree with you. The only real wart, I think, for the Washington offense has been red zone inefficiency. Do you see that as like a statistical anomaly or something to be concerned about?
The good news is that red zone efficiency is often a statistical anomaly. Usually, over time, teams will see their red zone performance match their overall performance. So if they're a good offense overall, over time, they will probably be good in the red zone. And if they're a bad offense overall, over time, they'll probably be bad in the red zone. It's sort of an interesting question about how to coach because, you know, coaches, they assign a specific day to the most important things like red zone and third down. So it's an interesting question, like, if red zone tends to regress towards your overall performance, does that mean that you shouldn't assign so much time to it to prepare? Or does it mean that you really should assign a lot of time to prepare to try to break the regression? Right? But it definitely does suggest that Washington will be better in the red zone going forward.
Or you just, like, I've noticed a lot of times where when coaches put a focus on something, people are more stressed in those areas and they don't just play freely, and that could be a problem too.
It absolutely could be. I mean, it's how to coach is one of the great questions, you know, that analytics doesn't necessarily answer.
Let's zoom out from Washington a little bit, and I'm fascinated what your numbers, Aaron, tell you about the 7-0 Chiefs.
They're about the same as they were last year when they were 6-2 at this point.
Wow. So
I have them fourth in the league. Okay, which is still a really good team. That's an absolutely a Super Bowl contender. But it's not as good as a 7-0 team normally is.
I think that's fair. I'm curious with the Chiefs specifically. So actually, what is your top five then if you have them fourth?
We have Detroit 1, Baltimore 2, and then Minnesota, Kansas City, Buffalo are all basically tied with each other.
Does Darnold concern you? You buy Darnold?
I buy O'Connell. I buy that O'Connell can coordinate Darnold into an average offense, and if that defense can continue to be a top three defense, that is a serious contender if they have an average offense.
And where does Washington land in your ranks?
We have them ninth right okay, now, but cool. Definitely swinging upward because the defense has improved.
Very, very interesting. What's been the biggest disappointment for you this season? Like, what team has truly underperformed, in your opinion?
Well, the best answer is Miami, but obviously there's a good explanation for that. The other ones I would say would be Cleveland on defense, that their defense has been very average. Is a very big disappointment. And then Dallas overall. And obviously Dallas has had a lot of injuries, but the strategy that the front office in Dallas took for this offseason really hurt their depth. So they sort of were in a position going into the season where you were like, if they get hit by a lot of injuries, they're in trouble. And that's exactly what happened, especially at one position, like all their edge rushers are hurt.
We ask you about the good teams all the time. I need to ask you about some of the teams that were supposed to be good, but they're not playing well. What's going on with the Jets?
What a mess. Aaron Rodgers is definitely the Aaron Rodgers of 2 years ago, not the Aaron Rodgers of 3 and 4 years ago. Right? He looks like a league average quarterback out there.
Yeah.
They can't stop the run. The cornerbacks are not playing as well as they have in years past. Like, Ahmad Gardner is not. You know, Ahmad Gardner was fabulous the last 2 years. He's been very average this year. And it's all come together to have this team that, I mean, honestly, you know, this is not an analytical statement, but just has some bad juju around it.
Clearly.
That would clearly be the quarterback. That's the bad juju right there.
I mean, do you buy that Rodgers is just kind of sinking this team? Obviously, he doesn't intend for that, but like the level of arrogance that he should be in charge of everything is just kind of, I mean, they're floundering. They're 2-6.
I mean, I think there's an argument that can be made that it sort of hurt the psychology of the teammates. He always looks so disgusted when they don't make a third down, you know? I mean, and there's no question, like, they've built this team and they've built this coaching staff to make him happy. And it didn't work, and they're 2-6, and now they're stuck with certain contracts that, like, are going to be really hard for the next few years. Like as bad as New England is right now, you would so much rather be New England and have a young quarterback at a ton of cap space going forward than you would be the Jets with all of the salary cap problems that they're going to have from some of the moves that they made to appease Rodgers.
Yeah, that whole situation is just a fascinating mess. What do your numbers tell you about Caleb and even Drake May, who's been much more limited? He didn't start and then now dealing with a concussion. But what do you think about this rookie? I mean, hell, Bo Nix is playing. Spencer Rattler's playing. What do you think about all these rookie quarterbacks?
Bo Nix, we have the Denver offense 24th. He's not good throwing deep, but he's been good enough to manage them to a winning record given how well their defense has played. Caleb Williams struggled the first three games, and he's been pretty good since then. He's been pretty good. Not so great against Washington this week, but
yeah,
the last couple of games before that, he had been really good. So I think he still looks very promising. May looks like a rookie, right? Like he does things that are just super promising, and then he does things that make you bang your head against the table, and then you're like, well, it's a rookie, so give it time. So it's Jaden Daniels is the one guy who's just truly outperforming what you would expect from rookies.
Love it.
I mean, I think it's funny when the eye test matches up with the advanced numbers, because I feel like the numbers support it and just watching the games kind of clearly supports it. One area, circling it back to Washington, I am curious on is I know that in the analytical community, there's been some question about Cliff Kingsbury's offense. What do you think about what he's done this year that has certainly succeeded?
Oh, man, it's been great so far. It's been great so far. I think it's interesting. Nate Tice ran some numbers about this that he put up on Twitter a few days ago. The advantage of motion, I think one of the criticisms of Kingsbury was that he didn't use motion very much. But the advantage of motion seems to have kind of gone away over the last couple of years. Defenses are kind of used to it now, so maybe that's not such a bad thing. I think the thing about Kingsbury is obviously, look, they've managed a rookie quarterback into such a really great season. You cannot criticize the guy right now. We're all sort of waiting for the second half because of that trend of Kingsbury's offenses declining in the second half that goes all the way back to Texas Tech. We're all kind of waiting, like, don't do it this time. Come on, like, don't do it this time. We're waiting for that before we sort of crown Kingsbury as, like, we were all wrong about him.
Could it sometimes be when you get a quarterback like a Jaden Daniels who seems to make the right decisions at all the right times and can get out of certain things that can make the offense look better, and you probably won't see what you've seen before?
No, because when you saw it at Texas Tech, the quarterback was Patrick Mahomes.
He was in college.
Yeah, he was in college, but still,
he wasn't
a pro player
at that point.
Pretty good quarterback. No, but you saw the same second half decline. I don't know. I don't know if we're going to see it or not. I don't know how real that trend is. We're all kind of waiting for it, and then when we don't see it, I think we're all going to be like, all right, mea culpa, Kingsbury was really good this year.
How much of an impact do you think having guys like Anthony Lynn and Brian Johnson on the staff can impact Cliff? Because you've got, I mean, I feel like their run game has so many elements from Anthony Lynn, and I feel like Brian Johnson's work with young passers throughout his career has been so impressive. You know what I mean? Cliff has kind of talked about his evolution. I just wonder if we're not seeing the same stuff we saw from Arizona and even further back.
No, it makes sense. I mean, I think, look, you want to get as many good coaches on a staff as possible, right? And you want them to be collaborating so that hopefully you get the best aspects of each coach's game. And each coach can spot problems and weaknesses in what one of the other coaches wants to do so that they get the best of all of them. So I certainly think having a crew, you know, Lynn's got a good track record, right? Having a crew of good coaches collaborating is a positive thing for this team. There's so many positive things about this team right now. It's so different from how we've talked about them so in past years. There's just a lot to be really positive about.
Totally.
For sure. What team do your numbers say could get hot in the second half that nobody would expect? Who's outperformed their record?
The Cincinnati Bengals.
Still?
We have them 18th. Despite being 3-5, that's the highest for a losing team, and they have an easy schedule going forward. I'd say the 49ers, who are much better than 4-4, but we're all still waiting for CFC to come back. And the 49ers actually have a hard schedule going forward.
What do you think who wins that NFC West? Because the Niners haven't seemed right all year. Purdy's throwing picks at a much higher clip than he has. Ayuk's gone. It just has seemed really disjointed.
I know. It's still their wins have been really impressive, though. So we still have we have the sixth overall, even at 4-4. I still think the 49ers, especially if you believe that CMC is going to come back, I still think the 49ers have the best chance to win that division. But there's no question that of all of the divisions, that's the one that is clearly the most up in the air.
That's it's very interesting. Hey, we always appreciate taking time with us, Aaron. Thank you.
You're welcome. And FTNFantasy.com, again, that's the website for folks to check out.
Check it out, brother. FTN Fantasy. You can follow Aaron at A Shots, S-C-H-A-T-Z-N-F-L.